And welcome to Sports Talk with Deuce McAllister and Steve Geller and Charlie Long in the booth running things for us on this, we'll call it halfway rainy, still muggy New Orleans day, and a little somber for a lot of different reasons if you're a New Orleans Saints fan and if you are Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know if you saw the clip of Ja'Marr Chase kind of getting banged up as well.
I was going to say, did we get an update on that yet?
Yeah, getting banged up as well. It did not look good. And so hopefully Uno, as some of the friends may know him pretty well, hopefully he's okay. And then for the New Orleans Saints, you know, having a scare of its own with Chris Olave, you know, kind of going down as well. And the other numerous players, because I wasn't available yesterday to be able to talk sports talk with the laundry list of injuries that this team is dealing with. Steve, we will discuss. And so looking forward to just to be able to talk a little bit about that and some of our guests that will be joining us later on today. I know we have, I'm trying to get our time, 5:25. Matthew, and I always mess up Matt's last name.
Paris, like Paris, France. There you go.
Yeah, Matthew Paris, the Saints beat writer for the Times-Picayune, will join us at 5:25, and Zach Nagy will join us from Go247 at 6:25 to give us the latest of LSU news with the injunctions or TOR. We saw Lane was on another national show today on the Pat McAfee, talking a little bit about potentially adding more guys with the loophole on the 5-for-5 ruling. And then late last night, you see the SEC put something out as far as some of the, I don't know if it was the ADs, I think it was the presidents that put a note out as they were meeting today and tomorrow for a planned meeting already. And this just happened to be one of the things that popped up on their radar as well. And so we've got a lot to discuss. You can give us a call or shoot us a text on our WWL
Oaken Heart Chalk and Text line.
Yeah, I was getting there. I didn't want to mess it up completely. I was getting there. So you can give us a call or shoot us a text on our Oaken Heart Talk and Text line. And then also, if you want to see the guys tomorrow before they leave for Dallas, and then you go to, you're off a week, then you go to Detroit and you go to Baltimore, you better get out to Tulane tomorrow night.
7 to 8.
Yeah, for tomorrow's practice at 7 to 8 to be able to see the team. Been away in California, so hopefully we need some good luck, some good juju. So, and you know, we'll be able to get that tomorrow from those guys. And so, Steve, take it away. I want to get your thoughts on today's happenings, not only at Saints camp, but you know, across the sporting world, on what we know and what will probably unfold later on today, et cetera.
Well, when you opened the show too, and with like a lot of sad or unfortunate news, also Miss Dolly Parton, rest in peace. You got the news today that she passed away, 80 years young, way too soon for her. I know she had been dealing with some health issues.
Yeah, and I mean, so Charlie, we got to get some clean Dolly. We got to get some clean Dolly music to be able to play a little bit today. And yeah, that is sad, you know, and you think about just the impact that she had on the musical world. And then, you know, a lot of times you talk about when you're going up to the Gatlinburg area, it's Dollywood. Yeah, it's Dollywood. And so that's immediately what you think of. And then, you know, remember a couple of years ago, you think about the flooding or the bad weather that they had up there, just, you know, tore that area up. But for her to step up and be able to supply, you know, and step in until, you know, some other help was available, you know, I think that's a huge impact. And so definitely going to miss her presence and, you know, just the things that she was able to do and the impact that she made.
You mentioned, obviously, with the Saints news going on, was a little bit, you know, those heart skips a beat when you hear Chris Olave goes down at practice, you know, kind of walked off, didn't return. You find out kind of lost his breath, basically, got the wind knocked out of him after going down at practice. So hopefully nothing more too serious there. Also found out that going to injured reserve.
Well, stop right there, if you don't mind. he had something similar happen to him in Dallas when he was on that tear for nine for nine.
Yeah.
As far as for catches, and everybody remember he goes into the tent. It was similar then, except that time he fell on the ball. He fell on the football. It was the contested catch. I think it was Caleb Downs that was covering him.
Yeah.
It was a contested catch. He goes down, and it was just how he went down.
Yeah.
But the player, Caleb, kind of fell on him as well, and it knocked the wind out of him. And so, you know, for Saints fans, coaches, and everybody that was there, it's like, oh, man, I hope that's not serious. But it was one where it was literally the next series, he was back out there. Now, we know that was not the case today, and practices are technically closed as far as for reporters to be able to cover the whole. It's not like camp, open camp completely anymore, but you still don't want to hear that. You still don't want to hear that, and, you know, I think that was one of the reasons.
Well, too, because that's the laundry list of injuries we've been seeing with everybody.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, you talk about not having your first-rounder receiver, Jordan Tyson. And yeah. I think, you know, just the work that he got in that week, that was, for me, the right decision to be able to hold him out as far as that game. I know he wasn't going to play anyway, but to hold him out against the Rams as far as that practice, because he didn't practice that against the Ram in that, you know, 47 plays that they did run. He had did everything else up until that point, and so I thought that was the right move to make.
Yeah, like I said, the injury list right now, unfortunately, the Saints have been snake bitten with stuff. Mentioning too, on our injured reserve now, running back Ty Chandler and also tight end Maliki Matavau. So the black and gold losing two guys there as well.
Both knee injuries.
I don't know if it'll be season ending for Matavau. He did mention Kellen Moore today. Did say that Ty Chandler is not expected to be back this season.
Yeah, Ty's is season ending. I'm not sure about Matavau. It may be a situation. And here's something that me and Jeff were talking about. Not particularly those players, but the new rule as far as being able to have two guys that you can kind of label, they will return as far as that is concerned, as far as putting them on injury reserve and being able to bring a player in, but labeling a guy or two that will be able to return instead of how the old rule used to be. They had to make the initial 53-man roster, and then you'd be able to put them on IR. The Saints will have so many injuries to critical players, they won't be able to do everybody like that, you know, until, like, I'm just throwing this out there, and I don't even want to use player A.
Yeah, I was going to say Joe Smith, right.
We're going to use player A. Player A potentially is projected to be out 3 weeks. Player A will now maybe not go on injury reserve, but we will carry player A because those 3 weeks, he will fall into a window where if you are on injury reserve and you're once the regular season comes, then you're out 4 weeks automatically. And so that's where you can use that roster spot, but you don't want to have to do that unless you kind of have to.
Right.
So we'll kind of see how that unfolds.
Yeah, and for, you know, a lot of folks wondering – two going into this matchup, the final exhibition game, preseason game number 3 for the Saints, Friday against Dallas. How many of your starters are we going to see in this matchup, or are you just going to keep everybody safe that you know is making this team right now and kind of keep them ready for week 1 of the season against Detroit? The way that the injury's been going with the Saints right now, I would understand that, but I'm curious how you feel too. Like, do guys need to get into that game rhythm? Do they need that live action, so to speak, in a preseason game that we know doesn't matter in the standings or in stats, but does it matter enough to kind of knock that rust off or get that first hit of the season?
Yes and no. I can play devil's advocate
on both sides of it.
I do know that if I do keep them out, then yes, they should be 100%, but we saw what happened to Olave today. You know, things are going to still happen in practice. You go back to Chase Young last year. You know, Chase got banged up in practice. It was not in a game. You know, and so when I say banged up, he had the injury that flared up in practice. It was not a game. And so, you know, you lose him not because of an actual game. It was because of, you know, things that you were doing in practice. And so I can say here's how I feel about it. Part of me said says that they, yes, they do need to play. But if you're going to literally go out there and play, how many actual plays are you planning on to play those guys? Is it one series? You're not playing them a quarter.
Right.
So if they're able to make five plays, six plays, seven plays, are you pleased? I mean,
if you're not pleased, do you keep them out there longer? And then becomes even like the whole thing, like you said, goes back and forth. I see both sides of this here.
Yeah, I mean, and so is it them going down and scoring and you feel good about what you've seen? Or will the tell of the tape that you've been able to do not only against three opponents as far as practice is concerned, but, you know, the work that you've put in during camp,
right?
Will that be enough? Because even if you go out there and you have seven, eight plays, nine plays, does that really give you the confidence that, all right, yeah, they're ready. They're truly ready. I know that they're ready to go and, you know, we can prepare for Detroit. I don't know if that's the case. Because if I do play them, you're not getting enough plays to really get into a rhythm to say, yeah, I feel great about them. Are you going to get two-third and short situations in there? Are you going to get in high red zone where I can really go through high red zone plays? Am I going to get an explosive run, a plus 10, plus 15? And am I going to get a plus 25 catch that I want to see? At some point, if you get all that, then you've already scored. You should have scored. I mean, if you can simulate and make sure that you can get those things, then yes, it's 100% worth it. But if you can't guarantee that you're going to get those types of situations, my question becomes, then what are we doing?
Putting those guys out there and you further the risk of injury. But it is football. That's, you know what I mean? This is a brutal game, as you well know.
That's the game of football. I mean, that's unfortunately, that's what you sign up for if you play the game. That can occur. I can't tell you that cannot occur. It can. And sometimes we don't know when it will happen. Unfortunately, that's football and life.
You can give us a shout, folks, on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. It's 504-260-1870. Hanging out on Sports Talk here from 4 to 7 p.m. That'll be the Saints Hour. What Mike Hoss, you won't want to miss that. So we got some wall-to-wall black and gold coverage for you. Keep it locked right here on WWL. Be back after the break. Back here on Sports Talk, and next up for the Saints, I want to remind you, Friday night battle with the Cowboys in Dallas. WWL's game day starts 3 p.m. with First Take, me and Charlie Long. Then the countdown to kickoff with Bobby Hebert starts 5 p.m. Game time with Deuce and Haas, along with Jeff Nowak on the sideline, 7 p.m. After that, the point after with the Cajun Cannon till 1 a.m. Saints Cowboys, catch all the excitement Friday on WWL and the free Odyssey app. Deuce, definitely hoping that this post-game show will be a lot more entertaining and a lot more exciting to talk about than the last matchup against the Rams. Give you guys credit. I think I told you in your segment on the post-game show, the locker room show, thanks for keeping us entertained, because that was just a rough one to watch, and I'm sure it wasn't easy to call either, seeing the Saints just not really having too much success, and then when they did, turnovers bit them in the rear.
Well, there's a couple things that you've got to be able to clean up. You know, a lot of times, particularly when you don't play well, you like to say, we're going to not even watch the film, or we're going to tear it up and we'll move on immediately.
Burn the tape, right.
Yeah, you'll burn the tape. But I think it's important for you not to burn this particular tape. And the only reason, you still have to be able to teach. You still have to be able to enforce and teach. And I know there's a line of thought of this team being tired. There is some truth to that. You should be tired. I mean, it's 90 plays, 80 plays, 47 plays, and, oh, a game in between there. All within a, what, 10-day period?
Sure.
I'm not even counting the Rams game. I'm just counting leading up to the Rams game. So, yes, you should be tired. But I can't use you being tired as an excuse to not go out and execute at the level that needs to be executed. There will be points in the season where you are tired. That's a part of it. But you still have to be able to execute. What was it, 12 penalties?
12 penalties.
For right at 96 yards, right at 100 yards? That's 7 points in itself. That is 7 points that you've given up in penalties. And you cost yourself points on the board, at least just putting points on the board or having opportunities with points on the board with penalties. And a lot of them are things that you can control. It's one thing to have
right.
a penalty where it's officiating can say, oh, that's a hold, or, you know, that looked like pass interference to me. When you have alignment penalties, that's a problem. You can be tired all you want, but that is a problem. And I think, you know, one of the things that from a coaching standpoint and a player standpoint, you have to get to where we're holding each other accountable. And I'm using where we as myself, if I was a player, even though I did not play, there's always the thought that I have to hold my room accountable. I can't expect the coach to just yell at me and we all get it right. If I am going to lead that group of men and, you know, at some point, all right, we all come together, your offense, you know, whether it's offensive line, tight ends, quarterbacks, receivers, and backs. There's a leader in each one of those groups. We have to hold each other accountable. And so you're not to a panic point yet. I mean, you're far from that. But at the same time, you got to be accountable for each other. And so that's where it's, you know, it's just like, because if this was one game, you'd be all right, cool. You know, that was just, you know, something that has that happened. But we can't sit there and be honest and say that was just one game.
Jaguars 8 penalties.
You see, that's what I'm talking about. You've seen it happen previously.
Training camp practice, there were issues lining up.
There's penalties. And so at some point, you gotta say, all right, I don't think that they're teaching us this, but I can't continue to do it wrong. Because at some point, guess what? Some point, somebody else is going to be in the building.
Who can get it right? Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they can get it right, but it's going to be somebody else that's doing it. That's what it's going to be. I don't know if they can get it right, but it's going to be somebody else doing it. That's just that's the league that you play in. You know, that's just what it is. And so that's from an accountability standpoint. And look, I get it. I get it. You can go and say, well, those are not our starters. At some point, he may be. At some point, he may be your starter.
It also wasn't the Rams starters either.
I'm not worried about the other side, because if I can't hold myself accountable, how can I worry about what somebody else is doing?
Yeah.
You know, at some point, this young man that's in the game, he may play a significant amount of plays. Whether you want to label him a starter or not, that does not matter. If he's not doing the job right, guess what? He's not helping you win.
Find someone else.
And somebody else will be able to come in and help you win. And so that's what it really, at the end of the day, that's what it's going to boil down to. You may not have had enough talent anyway to beat the other team, but if you can't do the little things right to even put yourself in position to, it's just hard. I'm serious. It's just hard. It's hard. The game is hard enough already. But, I mean, you got to be able to do the little things right. And so
– alignment, assignment, execution.
That's what it's about. And I still may not have enough talent. But you can do those things right. If you can do those things right, then you give yourself a chance.
Is that, like, one of the biggest things you're hoping to see, at least in this preseason finale, is just being on the same page and not getting these pre-snap penalties? That seems to be – just a drive killer, momentum killer, whatever you want to call it for them.
Well, it stops you from being able to find rhythm. Offensively, you go to Kendre Miller, the first three plays that he has, they're five really, really good runs. I mean, they're three really, really good runs. you know, it's four, it's five, it's whatever it was, you know, another four. And I hate to pick on the Rook, but that was one thing we talked about. It just wasn't that game. There are some other guys on that offensive line. I love you playing aggressive, but you got to be able to control it. You got to understand and know that, one, I'm a big man. So if I come through and I hit somebody out in the middle and the open of the field, where now I got these other six refs looking at me instead of one ref trying to look at me, see if I'm pulling a jersey or pulling on somebody, it's going to be a flag.
Yeah, too easy of a call.
You can't clean up the pile anymore. They ruled that out years ago. You can't clean it up. You have phenomenal intentions. Get him off my guy. Let me go finish this play. Get him off of my guy. But you can't do it. So it's control, aggression, and that's just one play. And he, knock on wood, he has, and I don't even have to knock on the wood, he has a chance to be a really, really good player. But you've got to be able to, that aggression, I've got to know when I can do it and what I can do and how I can go and do it. Because I can play as dirty and as nasty as I want to, but I gotta do it at the right time. And it's just controlled to be able to control it to where I'm not hurting my teammates. Not hurting myself, and I'm not hurting my teammates. Because, what's today? Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday, right.
Game was Friday, Saturday.
Saturday.
Unsportsmanlike conduct. I don't think it should not have met the level of a FedEx package,
right,
coming from the league.
It was not excessive.
In our minds, to the league, to the NFL.
I would hope not. Come on.
Well, I've seen a chop block. A chop block is a fine. It's a penalty, but they consider it reckless. That play that he had was considered reckless. So normally those FedExes, they come like on Thursday. But since the week is kind of condensed, I hope he doesn't get one.
So you're thinking the league could, if they wanted to, enforce something there because of safety issues?
It's a safety, 100%.
Okay.
It's a safety issue. Yes, sir. And it is a fine. And it's not just a preseason fine, it's a regular season fine. So whatever that regular season fine would be, that's what he would get. That's that, yeah. They don't define.
We're talking Jeremiah Wright, by the way.
Yeah, we're talking to Jeremiah Wright and the penalty he got. It was a great play, but it's a play that you can't do. And so that's what I, and the only thing I mean by that is you can't clean up the pile anymore because it's a safety issue. And football, we talked about it, it's a violent game. You know, you're going to get hurt or there's a possibility for you to get hurt. And so Jeremiah, I hope it's not for him, but I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. And so I've gotten them before. Like I said, I got one for a chop block. And it was just a 15-yard penalty. I didn't do it intentionally. But even in the preseason, when you do get those letters from the NFL, they don't say, oh, it's preseason, so the –
fine's lessened.
Yeah, the fine is less or reduced. They just take it out your check. they just take it out your check and they go forward with it. But
so you don't even have to pay them; they just automatically deduct.
No. You don't get the option of, oh, I'm gonna FedEx you a check or send me your routing information. I'll send you the money back. Nah, they get it before they get it before you even get your stuff.
We'll handle that for you.
Yeah, don't worry about that. We got that. And if you're not making enough, then we'll get it out your first game check.
Yeah.
And then if you don't make the squad, we're going to kind of write an IOU. Whenever you do make a squad, the NFL's, they are going to get their money. They will get their money. So whether it's then immediately or later on, they will get their money if they do, you know, hit you with a fine. But for me, I want them to play better, not necessarily from effort. I would like to see better effort. but I want to see better execution. I want to see better continuity, and I want to see better. I want you to just go out there with some rhythm. And right. that's all three phases. I mean, that's offense, defense, and special teams.
We talked a little about yesterday the Saints' new additions, a kicker and a running back. We'll get into that a little bit more with Deuce McAllister here after the break. You can sound off Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. Questions, comments, concerns, 504-260-1870. Breaking. Be right back after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. If you love football, you're going to love this. Get ready for Win It Wednesdays on WWL. You can win tickets to Saints, LSU, or Tulane football. All you got to do is listen the Win It Wednesday code word from Tommy. That's in the 9 a.m. hour. Newell at noon. Also, Scoot in the 3 o'clock hour. Remember, Tommy for Tulane, Newell for LSU, and then Scoot for the Saints. Enter the code word at WWL.com/contest for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the next home game. Saints, LSU, Tulane. Win It Wednesday. Great contest that's starting tomorrow right here on WWL. Mentioned going into the break, the Saints did add some new pieces to the room and was curious. Obviously, Deuce, with the addition of a running back to this roster, What do you know about Zamir White and what he can bring to this offense? Obviously, they're dealing, you know, a bunch of injuries right now in the running back room with Ty Chandler, we know is likely done for the season. Kendre Miller is back at least. Aldrick Estime was back at practice. Alvin Kamara might be in time for week one of the season. And then Devin Neal's also nicked up right now. Thankfully, the number one back in Travis Achane's, we know, is fine.
Yeah, Travis is doing well, but like you talked about, nearly every other running back
has something.
Is dealing with something or has had something. And so that's never a position to be in. And, you know, it's always a little interesting when you can make a trade because it really puts you in a position where you don't have to maybe claim a player. And so normally when you make a trade like this, like the Saints were able to do, it's normally for late round draft picks. Because, all right, I see a path for Deion Jones. It was going to be tough for Deion to make the Saints roster. Now, I felt like Deion, if he had chose to, would have made the Saints practice squad and eventually would have been on the Saints 53-man roster. But the initial 53-man roster, it was going to be tough for Deion Jones to make. Some of that was because – coming late, and then really the two guys that he was chasing, they've played really well. You know, that Stalbert and Ford, who has been all over the field when he's gotten a chance to play. So just knowing that those were two of the main guys that he was chasing, it was going to be tough for Deion Jones to make this team. So you trade for a guy like Zamir White, who has probably been up and down. Zamir, depending on the agency that you looked at, you know, was anywhere between a 4 and a 5 star, I think, coming out of Georgia. So you know there's some talent there. But I don't know if he's lived up to that talent from whether it was Georgia and or even high school. But for the Saints, I don't need him to be the 4 or the 5 star player. There's a specific role that the Saints are looking for him to be able to come through. And the other young back is C.J. Donaldson that we didn't mention.
Right.
But there is a specific role for Zamir White to be able to play, and some of that is maybe even insurance because you've had the injury to Kendre, because you've had the injury to Estime, because you have the injury to Alvin right now. And then, you know, we don't know how long Neal will be out, you know, with the hamstring that he's dealing with. I mean, you retweak the injury that you've been out with for a couple of weeks, you know, there. And so,
as coach would say, they're evaluating his situation.
Well, you're evaluating it, but it's frustrating. And it's frustrating for him, but it's frustrating for the Saints because, if you're being honest, that 3-man race, you know, was becoming a 4-man race for 2 spots. Now it may be back down to 3 guys or 4 guys, you know, 2 guys, and it's almost a 1-and-1 situation. And so, both of your main guys, that being Estime and Kendre, are coming off an injury themselves. And so it's just that position has been hit hard. You know, we talked about before camp started the amount of depth that you had there. Not anymore. You know, there's depth, but they're coming off of injuries. And so we'll see how they kind of handle it, how they deal with it, and, you know, just what White can bring to the table because – he's behind the eight ball, and it's not. I don't think it's just, hey, we want him for this upcoming game. I do think that they would say, if we see enough, we can actually use you. It may be on practice squad, but we will keep you here to bring you up to speed because we think you can help us.
Taking a break here on WWL Sports Talk, coming back with even more. Just keep it locked right here on WWL. Be back after the break. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Wanted to talk to Deuce about the two new additions for the Black and Gold since he wasn't here yesterday with us. I'll mention a little bit about Zamir White, the running back added to the Saints roster, and now Black and Gold have three place kickers as they added All-Pro, former two-time All-Pro Daniel Carlson with the formerly of the Las Vegas Raiders. You knew this had to be coming considering the struggles we've seen from Charlie Smith and Tanner Brown so far. And the question I want to know is, though, do you have enough time to really evaluate Carlson before week one?
Yes.
Yes, huh?
It'll come down to practice and, you know, whether he gets kicks in the game, you know, we'll kind of see. But here's the other thing when you talk about evaluation. He's a veteran. He's got tape.
Yeah.
He's got tape now. He didn't live up to Pro Bowl or All-Pro status last year, and that was one of the reasons the Raiders brought in a different kicker. But I don't – if he can show them what he can do and he's bounced back from what he has been in the past, and I think he has an opportunity to earn that job.
Folks, keep it locked right here on WWL. Going to top of the hour news. 5 o'clock hour, dip into some more Saints talk. Matthew Paris, a Saints beat reporter for the Times-Picayune and the Advocate, will join us. 6 o'clock, we'll be talking some LSU with Zach Nagy, senior writer for Go 24/7 Sports and also CBS Sports. Whole lot going on in Baton Rouge. Coming back with more sports talk. Hope you join us right here on WWL after this. Welcome back into Sports Talk this Tuesday, the August 25th, getting closer to the Saints preseason finale. That's Friday, 7 p.m. right here on WWL. Saints Radio will have that for you. Looking at some of the news around the NFL, Douche, we opened the show talking a little about some injuries. You mentioned Cincinnati Bengals receiver Ja'Marr Chase. Well, he told a radio station in Cincinnati that he is fine after the injury scare, saying it was just a hyperextension of his knee and nothing serious. So thankfully for him, Cincinnati Bengals fans, and any fantasy football owners out there as well, the former Romo Rada is doing just fine.
Yeah, I mean, because if you go and look at that video, that does not look pretty at all. And, you know, we just know, what, last year you're the Triple Crown.
Right.
I mean, you're the Triple Crown.
I feel that didn't get talked about enough. Was it basically because Cincinnati was not really relevant?
Well, they didn't win.
Yeah.
And so that's why it didn't get talked about enough. I mean, but to be able to do that and have that type of scare, and I know if you're Cincinnati, you're thinking, man, my star quarterback goes down, and now I'm about to lose my star receiver. You know, you know that they were just – you're talking about holding their breath that nothing is wrong, but apparently he's okay, and so he's a big impact. And you talk about from a fantasy standpoint, and the Romo Raider, and you know LSU Tiger, just the things that he can do on the field. He definitely makes a huge impact to their team, and the fantasy owners, they can breathe a deep sigh of relief.
Yeah, especially if you've had your draft already. I like doing my fantasy draft after preseason games.
Well, I don't have a preference, so.
Chase did say, he told the radio station as well, that he was trying to get back into practice. I was trying to get back in, y'all, I promise you. So things definitely looked a lot worse than the outcome was, thankfully for him. But, man, it's, you know, things are crazy sometimes. You see players being able to walk off the field, and then you find out later on it is a season-ending injury.
Well, the one thing, and this is talking about a guy that walked off the field but still had an ACL injury. I knew the first time, I didn't know. The second time, I knew it was
– what it was.
Yes, because I had experienced it before. Yeah. But the one image, because you never know if you will play again, I don't want my last image to be me getting helped off the field or me not being able to walk off this field. I want to walk off this field on my own. And some of that is adrenaline. Some of that is, you know, just being able, you're hyped up, you think you can go and play. Because, I mean, I literally jogged on the sideline, you know, after the first knee injury. I'm like, I'm good. I'm fine.
Wow.
I can put a sleeve on and I can go back in and play. And so the doctors was like, no, we have some concern. We're not doing it. We're not putting you back in. The next day you get your MRI and it's ACL.
Looking at another running back, going to go check out the Las Vegas Raiders, and head coach Clint Kubiak, the former Saints offensive coordinator, said today, didn't want to go into details about running back Ashton Jeanty. He's just on the mend. That's another concern for any of you fantasy footballers out there as well.
Definitely a concern, but they think and feel like that they definitely dodged a big one there. And, you know, you hear conflicting reports whether it was ankle or knee. But they basically at this point, and since they don't have to give any true
injury report
during the preseason, that's all you really have to say. He's on the mend.
Yeah, I would know famously Sean Payton was like, don't ask me anything to the regular season. And even then, I'm not going to answer you.
I'm not going to answer you. We'll put it out on the first, you know, what Wednesday.
We'll get back to you.
Yeah, we'll get back to you. And whenever you get the injury report on Wednesday, you know, that's when you'll kind of know.
Looking at other stuff around the NFL, obviously the wild story with the San Francisco 49ers and their owner, Jed York, seeing that he used a pseudonym and responded multiple times in fictitious ad for a prostitute prior to his arrest in Ohio over the weekend. Supposedly contacted the ad three times before this happened. What are you doing, man?
If I can just, if you see me, I'm just shaking my head. That's Jed York. Apparently he's from that area. He grew up not far from that area, and so all you get. Steve,
he knew where to go.
You have to go read it for yourself. We won't give opinion. We just report the news on that one. How about that? No opinion given. Jed York, he did get the charges reduced, though. I'll put it that way.
Looking around, also some local news at least. Man, college football has been burning. LSU and Lane Kiffin just seemed anything that they do seems to ignite the flame over there.
Well, we talked about it a little bit in the opening hour, you know, and I know we have Zach coming on later on, but I think Lane has struck a nerve or two, you know, because you hear some, you know, Notre Dame, what their thoughts are. You hear, you know, Ole Miss, what their thoughts are. You hear what Georgia and what their thoughts are. Each are a little different. But at the end of the day, as Coach Kiffin has talked about, his job and his coach's job are to make sure that they are not only getting their team better, but any avenue available to improve our chances of winning games, that's what they're going to explore. And that's what they've done. Now, whatever your opinion is of how, whatever avenue, rule, whatever way we do that, you can have an opinion for it. But how the rules read now, that's how they've played the game.
I think the biggest problem people have is just how is this? Not that LSU is doing it, but how is this considered legal for college sports?
And here's the thing. It took LSU and a current player, I don't want to say high-profile player, but, you know, a current player – that, you know, Lane has a past history with, Coach Kiffin has a past history with, for it to truly come on the radar for news personnel, radio hosts. But apparently there are over 100 other student athletes in similar position, not just football,
right.
Other sports
exactly
that are in similar positions. And we heard very, very little. Now, maybe shame on us, but maybe it didn't directly affect our teams that we were covering, and so it wasn't on our radar as high. But
well, not just us even. I feel like the nation.
Well, no, I'm just saying I can't speak for other, you know, what other guys talk about. I can speak for what we talk about. Since it did not affect the teams that we cover,
right.
You know, it wasn't high on our radar. But we have paid a lot more attention, and this has gotten a lot more attention since it is the LSU Tigers and since it is Lane Kiffin, you know, potentially adding that player or two to the roster. Now there's this uproar of people that are saying, oh, no, it's not right, it's not right. Well, what about the other 97 or so individuals?
What about those players, right?
Yeah. there was maybe not as much of a fuss about that.
I did laugh at the statement, too, that the Big Ten put out today saying that, oh, they're not going to allow players to return from the NFL.
Yeah, which probably has some – it's probably valid. You know, and I think what is the Big 12? Are they the Big 12 still, or did they change the name again? Is it the Big 12?
Big 10.
No. Big 12. The Big 12 is still the Big 12. I mean, they add so many teams. I don't know if they call themselves the Big 12 or whom they call. But where I was going with Texas Tech and Sorsby, their quarterback, how it took, you know, almost like a lawsuit. You had the lieutenant governor getting involved in that situation.
Right.
But at some point, Texas Tech finally backed down and, you know, there was – you had the NFL and CFL kind of putting out a statement saying he's not eligible or we're not holding a draft. If you're going to be suspended, you're going to be suspended. So it took a lot for that to kind of happen and unfold because we do know that there were some lawsuits filed and, you know, some injunctions handed down, something similar. So for those leagues, particularly the Big Ten, to put out that statement like they did, as we both know, all it takes is one lawyer and one player to kind of file some type of suit. And once you have the injunction in place, I don't know how long they get to last, whether it's 28 days or if it's a season, you know, because you look at Pava and his injunction that he had, and you look at even Trinidad,
yeah,
you know, Chambliss and his injunction that he has, you know, and so it's an interesting time, I'll put it this way, in college football.
But now, it seems like every week the rules are changing.
Well, the rules change, and you know who gets hurt? You know who gets hurt in this whole process?
Are you going to say the players?
Well, it's definitely the players, but it's the high school kids. It's the high school players that get squeezed. They're the ones that get hurt. Because if you're not the elite – the opportunity for you to move up and to go up gets slim and slimmer and slimmer. Yeah. Because most of those coaches, I'm shopping at the transfer portal. You're not ready to contribute immediately, so now the opportunity for you to come in and play, they've dwindled.
Folks, we're taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll get into more of our Saints discussion after this. Matthew Paris, Saints beat reporter, coming up next here on WWL Saints Radio. Keep it locked right here. Welcome back into WWL. Next up for the Saints, Friday night battle with the Cowboys in Dallas. We have got you covered. 3 p.m. First Take with me and Charlie Long. We'll get things started. And the countdown to kickoff with Bobby Hebert will take over at 5 o'clock. Game time with Deuce and Haas along with Jeff Nowak on the sideline. 7 p.m. After that, the point after with the Cajun Cannon till 1 a.m. Saints Cowboys coverage right here on WWL all Friday. Keep it locked right here on WWL and the free Odyssey app. Looking forward to that matchup, wrapping up the preseason play. Thankfully, exhibition play will be coming to an end, helping us talk about the black and gold and all things that's been going on in Saints land. Matthew Paris, the beat reporter for the Times-Picayune and the Advocate, joining us here on WWL right now. Matthew, how you been doing? I know you didn't expect going into this season, I guess, to need like a doctorate degree to cover what's been going on with Saints injury front.
Well, fortunately, I got my doctorate in 2024 when all of these injuries were even worse. So I'm well-ventured on hamstring injuries and soft core issues and everything else the Saints have been dealing with.
We learned today, obviously, you know, injured reserve. Going there with Ty Chandler, the running back, and also Malik Matavau. Really unfortunate for guys that had showed some spark for this team in the preseason.
Yeah, both guys had been having a pretty good camp. Obviously, you know, Ty Chandler had that unfortunate fumble that I think maybe, you know, who knows how it would have influenced the cut down final decision. But now the Saints don't have to make that choice. You know, his season is over with a pretty serious knee injury, and Malik Matavau, that's really unfortunate too. But you know, I think his injury specifically changes maybe the math elsewhere on the roster. You know, I thought they were going to keep four tight ends. Now I think they'll probably only keep three, and that opens up a spot maybe elsewhere for somebody else.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Matthew, I just wanted to get you, thank you for coming on with us. But I think, you know, when you look at overall roster, I think the health of this team at certain positions may make you keep a player or two that normally would not have been the case in point in instance, or when you think about it. Look at the interior of that defensive line. What are your thoughts there? I know Christian Miller returned today as far as practice was concerned, but give me your thoughts there with, you know, John Ridgeway being hurt. You already lost your first rounder from a couple years ago, Brian Brzee, you know, in that position. Just give me your overall thoughts on, you know, and what that position looks like and where they may go, you know, whether it's keeping everybody that you have there, or do you go outside of the building to be able to make a trade and or add someone else to that rotation?
Yeah, I mean, coming into camp, I thought that was going to be a real logjam in the sense that, you know, you think back to last year where they traded Colin Saunders and you're kind of thinking, all right, are they going to have to do that again? Is someone going to be a surprise cut like a Devon Godshaw or anything? It really hasn't panned out that way because of the injuries, as you mentioned. I mean, Vernon Broughton has really stepped up nicely for Brian Brzee. Like, I think the Saints are going to be okay there. But with Ridgeway's injury, that really is, it's interesting. Does it create an opportunity for a guy like Christian Boyd to make the roster? I think he's done a pretty nice job in his absence. I also think it, you know, I wonder if, you know, the Saints have so many injury candidates, but you can only really store two guys on injured reserve on cutdown day without actually affecting the 53. So, you know, Jordan Tyson will be one of those spots. And how do they use the other is really interesting. Is it Ridgeway? Is it Devin Neal? But, if it's Ridgeway and not Neal, do you keep five running backs and then place Neal on injured reserve, you know, once cuts are officially set? There's a lot of ways you can manipulate the roster, and I think it's things that the Saints are looking at.
You mentioned the running back room right now. Looked like, we talked about this earlier, me and Deuce, the fact that it looked like you had some depth there going into the season. Now it's a question mark because so much of that depth is banged up. They bring in Zamir White. What have you seen from this back from the loss? We know from mostly with the Raiders, had a limited time there with the 49ers. Hard to even call him part of that team. But now here in New Orleans, what have you seen from him and what can he provide with this team?
Yeah, I mean, I thought today, you know, it was really brief. He, you know, you finish your runs at the after every run, you know, he was just kind of running to the end zone and doing that sort of thing, maybe to make an impression or show that, you know, he runs hard. It's really interesting. Like, I don't know how much of a chance he has to make the roster. I mean, clearly Deion Jones was on the way out. It felt like a we need a body for a body trade. Like, the Saints were shorthanded at running back. The 49ers, I think, were banged up at linebacker, and, you know, that they obviously have to get through the preseason. So I'm not sure what it meant for the actual 53-man roster, but if he impresses in Friday's game, maybe he sticks around on the practice squad or that sort of thing.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, you know, really if he impresses, but also, you know, you don't get some other guys banged up. And so for him, right, it's to be able to go and show that, hey, I can come in on short notice and run some of the plays that you guys run and give you a little something. And so, yeah, it may not be the actual 53 just because time may not be on his side, but be able to get on the practice squad and then put yourself in a position. Going back to what you talked about as far as the injury reserve and then being able to use those two spots, one of the things that you can kind of manipulate the roster is you don't want to expose a young guy that can be claimed off of waivers. So if I have the option to maybe release a veteran player until I can put another player or two on injury reserve that may be a young player, that would be one way that you do it, just because you do have some injuries, so many injuries, and you need to be able to fill that roster out. But I don't want to expose one of those young players. Just give me your thoughts on doing it that way as well.
Yeah, I think if you look at, like, if you want to talk about specifics, I wonder if a guy like Terrell Burgess, it could be a candidate for that. I mean, you think about last year, he made the practice squad. He's a veteran safety. I think they ended up calling him up or signing him to the roster in week two. That this year, if you cut Burgess, that would maybe allow you to keep Lorenzo Styles, who is dealing with a calf injury and is out for the long term. Maybe he then goes on IR. You re-sign Burgess, and that's part of your DB room. Like, he's the guy that those two are the immediately come to mind of that. But elsewhere, I'm not sure. Maybe defensive end. But I think Anthony Jennings has done enough to make this roster. Obviously, he didn't play in this last preseason game, which I think is a good sign for him.
Matthew, I know you recently just put out a 53-man roster prediction, you know, who's in, who's out, entering the final week of the preseason. Curious your thoughts on the quarterback position. I see you have Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler, and Zach Wilson all making the team. Do you feel any strong way towards Rattler or Zach Wilson being that number two guy right now? Is it still just a coin flip considering Wilson had a pretty rough outing the last game against the Rams?
Yeah, I don't. I think it is a coin flip still. I mean, today they rotated with the two. They're not really running the threes out there because they're so injured that the threes have now become the twos. But, you know, that they rotated with Spencer Rattler going first, then it was Zach Wilson and vice versa for the backup. So I don't think that, you know, the winner has been decided by any means. My gut tells me it'll be Rattler, but I think, you know, injuries – also, this is like, you know, injuries on the roster, specifically at wide receiver. Like, if you had asked me before camp or as camp was going on, I thought they would have kept six receivers. I think they'll only probably keep five right now. And so that's a spot where I think you can afford another quarterback because of, you know, injuries that have happened elsewhere.
With everything that you've seen from this team to now, how much have your thoughts on who they can be or what they will be this upcoming season has changed?
You know, I still think, like, I went into this thinking that they'd compete for the division. Nothing has really changed me off that. I really, you know, I thought as camp was starting and some of the offensive struggles, you know, you were thinking, like, all right, the Saints were the 26th total offense last year. If they're going to win the division, they probably have to be in, like, you know, average or in the teens. And, oh, no, what happens if they only, like, go from 26th to 22nd? I think I've moved off that concern a little bit. I think they'll still be in the teens somewhere. I feel better about the offense even with all the injuries that have happened. So I still think they have a shot to make for the division, and I also think that has also partly to do with kind of the NFC South and every team kind of being in the same stage that the Saints are in right now.
Looking again at your 53-man roster article here, you definitely predicted the kicker situation, I think, correctly with kicker not being on the roster. We know the Saints go out and they add one to the team. And I'm just curious, how do you think things are going to shake out now between, I guess, the practices, a preseason finale, and deciding between three guys who ends up being your main guy for week one of this season? It's just, you know, people think about the kicker position maybe not being that important, but man, I just – it's a huge void right now that I really have no answer for.
Yeah, I mean, I would be shocked if it wasn't Daniel Carlson. I don't think you bring in a guy like that of his stature to bring in this late just to be a camp body or to scare Charlie Smith or Tanner Brown into performing better. Like, as long as Carlson doesn't blow it in, you know, tomorrow's practice or Friday's preseason game, you know, I think this is his job to lose at this point.
And last one, Matthew, I'm just curious if out of all the players, maybe a new addition or some of the rookies, has there been a guy that's really, I guess, wowed you or stood out that has impressed you so far through training camp in the preseason?
Yeah, Bryce Lance, I think, is the first guy that comes to mind for this. You know, if you had, you know, it seems like Barry and Brown had his week in the sun.
Yeah.
But really since then, Bryce Lance has kind of really had a nice stretch of training camp here. On his birthday, that joint practice against the Rams, he caught two passes in the red zone. And that's the thing that stuck out to me is I don't know how much Bryce Lance will be on the field once the regular season begins, but I think you can put him in specialty packages, whether it's the red zone, whether you're putting him on the field to chuck it deep. Like, I think there are different ways the Saints can use him, even if he's not playing 70, 60% of the snaps.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing how much action he gets in tomorrow's practice at Tulane at night. Thanks so much for the time, Matthew. We'll be seeing you out there tomorrow.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Matthew Parris, Saints beat reporter for the Times-Picayune and The Advocate, joining us there. And yeah, it's always tough when you're trying to put together 53-man rosters because maybe not so much from what we've seen, but like how many guys do the Saints want to keep at certain positions, I guess, is the biggest piece of the puzzle for me that you don't know.
Yeah, and the other part of it is it's not necessarily your initial roster or your main roster.
Right, right.
It may be because of the game that you're playing against, and offensively this is what we need. you know, you thought, look at it from the tight end standpoint. Yes, it probably would have been good to have four, but I think that they're fine if they have three and they can call up a guy, you know, as far as practice squad is concerned. And so little things like that definitely make a difference, you know. And I can see, I know, I think he said he had him keeping five. I can see, you know, certain scenarios, and now Tyson is included in this, you could possibly have seven, but now Tyson is on IR in that version of it. And so just depends on how you want to construct it and the health of all of the positions across the board. I mean, because if I have to dress an extra offensive lineman, then that changes some things.
We need some good gree-gree going, or good juju. I guess gree-gree's not anything good, but we need some good luck with the Saints with these injuries right now, because every day or every game, it seems like something new is popping up with this black and gold squad. Heading into the preseason finale on Friday against Dallas, just want to come out of that unscathed and ready for week one at Detroit. Going to take a break here on Sports Talk. You can sound off on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. Let us know what you're thinking. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk right after this. Welcome back into Sports Talk here on WWL. Been talking a lot about Saints black and gold. We're going to look a little bit about the division right now. Curious, what do you think an Atlanta Falcons are going to do right now at their quarterback situation? I know there were high hopes for Tua Tagovailoa to be their starter. Penix is still on the mend. I know that he's being cleared to return to full activities. But that competition, it's curious to see how things shake out there, because I don't know. You look at, I think we've talked about it a ton here too, that the Falcons have a very talented roster offensively, but the biggest problem is the signal call, the guy calling the shots.
As the former head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers once said, we do not care. We actually do.
I was going to say, sure we do.
We actually do care, but we do not care. That was Mike Tomlin in one of his non-emotional responses.
I wish them all the misery. That's fine.
Well, here's where Atlanta is. Had a chance to listen to some sports talk radio with Graffinini, with Todd. Atlanta is preparing for a top five to potentially top 10 pick. They are getting their fans ready to pick in the top five and top 10 of next year's draft.
Why you say that?
I'm not saying it. That's what they're saying.
Okay.
I'm repeating what I heard.
Right.
And so this was not from one guy. This was from multiple people. They feel like run defense is not very good.
They're hurt on the pass rush now.
They won't have a pass rush, and I think it was – was that me and you or me and Mike, James Pierce? Has the ruling officially come down
for him? Games,
it is 8 games.
Yeah.
And I tried to tell some people that it would be 8 games, and he may appeal it down to 6. But the league, and when they did the new CBA, it was a hard 8. It that's what it was. You know, when you can talk about, well, there's no court. They don't care. Just like, and that being the NFL. Just like we talked about in preseason, they fine you the full amount of a regular season. That's no different. I'm not even talking about what he did. I'm just talking about how the ruling affects. You know, and he's got great attorneys. They did their job. It's been adjudicated, the whole nine in that sense.
But the court of the NFL is different.
100% different. It's different. Because the NFL, the video that's out there, they can't take that away.
Right.
The articles that are out there, they can't take that away. And so for them, you have brought bad publicity.
To the shield.
And that's ultimately what it's about. Now, you can work out a deal with the, you know, those officers, the young lady. That's almost totally different. And he's going about doing that. But they're still going to hold him to a standard that you know, sometimes outside of even the game, you may think it's not fair, but that's how they operate. Now, there may be something totally different that some people feel strongly about. And it's like, wait, the league did what? That's all they did?
Right.
Or there was no findings. They felt that there was not enough findings for them to get truly involved. And so pass rush becomes an issue because you had already lost, Jalen Walker, you lost him to injury, and now Pierce won't be available for 8 games, and they were already iffy on the run defense defense.
We've got Caden Ellis back now.
We've got Caden back, so thank you, Caden.
I think Onyemata's gone over there, huh?
I don't know if Big O's probably gone as well, but, I mean, they've lost a lot.
Right.
They've lost a lot. But then the big question mark, quarterback.
The main piece.
Because you got a Ferrari at running back.
No doubt.
You got a, you know, give me another fancy sports car on the outside.
A Bugatti?
Give me a Bugatti. And then you got a Lamborghini inside that's a flex tight end. So, I mean, you've got the toys. You've got the toys. But, man.
You got a Ford Focus at quarterback.
It ain't even a Ford Focus. You got a beat up 40-year-old Toyota Camry at quarterback. I mean, and it's just.
Hey, at least the Camry will last you, though.
It's on its last leg. I told you 40 years old. I didn't say it was 20 years old. It's a 40-year-old Camry. You can't even get parts anymore for that Camry, baby. I mean, they working on it. And so they brought in Tua. Tua is not the answer. And you're hoping Penix. You're hoping Mike can hold up. I mean, you're literally hoping that he can hold up.
Even
and
when he has held up, though, there's nothing that's wowed you.
Nah, he's got some wow to him now. He's got. I'm not going to sit there and say that the kid doesn't have some talent. He has some talent. It may be questionable some of the things that he does, but the kid has some talent. The young man has the rifle of an arm. He has a rifle for an arm. But, you know, the question becomes is, can he move? And I know he made the statement in one of the interviews. His doctors told him that he would not have any more issues out of the knees. Coming from a young man that has had 8 knee surgeries, no doctor
like, how
can tell you
say that?
You cannot. And so he may have felt that way, but that's not possible. It's not. And from an ethical standpoint, the doctor probably can't even say that. You know, if he's saying it, he's joking. It's just not possible.
Well,
but
yeah.
that's where we at.
Like you mentioned, you got the high-priced sports cars all around you. The biggest question is QB. I'm curious, does this team go out and trying to find a veteran to add to that team after cuts?
Possibly.
Or you kind of got it is what it is for them.
Yeah, I think it may be.
They might be in the march for Arch.
Arch and some other quarterbacks as well. I think, you know, you got Sellers, you got a few quarterbacks. I think that'll bounce back, at least that we thought that would come out this past year that didn't. But it's a loaded draft class next year.
If you want to sound off here on Sports Talk with Deuce McAllister, 504-260-1870 is the number on the Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Breaking right now, coming back with more right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Folks, if you need a new garage door, you can win one from WWL. Hurricane and storms can put every part of your home to the test, including your garage door. While WWL and Ace Garage Door are giving you a chance to win the Hurricane Ready Garage Door Giveaway with a brand new garage door and installation that's worth up to $2,500. You can enter win right now at WWL.com/contest for your chance to win. Get your home ready for the next storm threat that threatens with Ace Garage Door and WWL. Storms seem to be coming for the Saints and the injuries. I mentioned the fact that we're just hoping that the remaining few practices here going into the preseason finale and the game as well, you always talk about it, just hoping to come out of that game unscathed and nobody gets banged up. But it's just, you know, been so rough this year, and I'm sure it happens every season. It just seems to be amplified right now because we're in the moment. But it almost, like every game, when someone gets tackled, it seemed like the Saints were coming up limping with something.
Football is a physical sport.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Right now we're going through a little storm. I do believe that at some point those birds will chirp again. We will have flowers that will bloom. We just got to survive and get there. You know, we're just going through a storm right now as far as injuries are concerned.
And I know every team goes through this storm.
Yeah, but I mean, we just like we talked earlier, we can't be concerned with other teams. You know, we can't be concerned with it. You know, our job is to talk about this New Orleans Saints team and, you know, what issues that they're dealing with. And, you know, the question and the hope is, it was one texter that I was talking to about, you know, whether the ones or the twos were playing.
Yeah.
At some point, you want that second and slash third player to potentially be a starter. So I can't just excuse him making those mistakes. At some point, the hope is that he will be the starter for you.
Yeah, like we talked about, a Jeremiah Wright, your young guy, you're developing and maybe steps into that starting role. Hopefully steps into that starting role.
At some point.
Yeah. Taking a break for top of the hour news, coming back with another hour of sports talk. Then it's the Saints hour at 7 p.m., but we'll be back right after this. TikTok, 6 o'clock hour of sports talk here on WWL this Tuesday, August 25th. And I guess I keep meaning to get soap opera music ready because we need this with what's going on lately with college football, LSU. If you thought the transfer portal could get any wilder, well, grab your seatbelt because the SEC and Big Ten just laid down the law on one of the strangest loopholes we've ever seen in college athletics. Greg Sankey now and the SEC leadership met with university presidents and athletic directors. They are officially pulling the emergency brake. SEC following right behind the Big Ten announced today that they will strictly prohibit any athletes from joining an SEC roster if they've declared for the NFL, NBA, or WNBA draft without properly withdrawing, signed a professional contract with any of those leagues, or been listed on a professional roster or affiliate roster.
As I sit here and ponder, I don't have an answer.
I don't think anyone does.
I do not have an answer. You can't technically sue them as far as those conferences, because the conference, what they're going to do is financially, if I am reading that correctly, they're going to fine the universities or the athletic departments
right,
financially. And apparently for him to put out that statement, they have gotten all 16 teams to agree.
But what about the Louisiana judge, you know, his previous ruling?
That ruling may stand. But from a conference and the bylaws, the conference probably wins. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm just imagining, though, that we're going to have some antitrust lawsuits.
You possibly may. I mean, it's going to force a coach and an athletic director to say, I can't play you. You can go to school. You can practice. You can do all of that, but I cannot play. I can't play you is ultimately what it's going to come down to.
And we know LSU just landed former Ole Miss tight end Daquan Wright, who was released from the Cleveland Browns training camp. And then meanwhile in basketball, Will Wade and LSU had secured an injunction for former St. John's standout R.J. Lewis after he spent some time with Utah and Boston.
Correct. So, I mean, I don't know until LSU actually comes out with a statement. I mean, Coach Kiffin, we know what he talked about earlier today, the loophole, and if they were doing it, you know, they had to at least explore it, you know, and then talking about Drew Rosenhaus, you know, hey, ask him what other two teams were you talking to before sure. You committed, you know, to LSU. I don't think, like I said, I think it comes down to financial fines. Or I don't even know what the league would do to one of its member teams that breaks a rule. Because if they've all agreed to that rule, Greg is not putting that out on his own. You know?
Right.
And that meeting was a planned meeting already, that they were meeting about some different issues. And this just happened to pop before that meeting. Because yesterday, before the meeting, today was day one. They have another day of two-day meetings. They put out a statement last night, and it was not this. So after they've gotten together, before we came on air, there were 14 of 16 teams agreeing to say, hey, we don't want professional players playing anymore. Particularly, I mean, we kind of talked about how it looked so far, and now they put out this actual statement by the SEC from the commissioner. I don't have the answers. I don't know, because every other hour, every other day, we see something different or we get something different. And guess what? We actually got games this week. This is week zero.
Hallelujah, football.
Yeah.
Actual football, right.
This is actual games that count. You know, and so it's not like, hey, this kid did really well in the scrimmage, or, you know, we're practicing. No, you will have opponents. You will have referees out there blowing the whistles. Hey, that's a flag. That's a touchdown. That you will have actual games this week. But as we lead up to kickoff, there is a hot mess going on.
Yeah, I can't even say there's nonsense in the headlines, because this is big deal.
It's a big deal. I mean, and I don't know if it answers the questions. We know exactly what the university, or at least the commissioner, is saying, but does that change anything for the actual universities?
Yeah, I'm curious to know, how much would you be fined?
I suspect it would be a I'll put it this way.
Right, it's not a chump change.
No. Probably easy five with the first five figures, easy five figures. And yeah, then probably double it, kind of like rushing the field situation, that, you know, the first time it may be $100,000 or $250,000, next time it doubles. And the way that they do it is, oh, it goes to the institutions or the safety of the team that you were playing, and the rest goes to the other 16 team members or 15 team members. So I'm pretty sure they've kind of gotten creative on how they would institute those fines and make it fairly, fairly pricey if you do break those rules.
We'll see what happens tomorrow, I guess, because I guess, you know, things just keep changing.
Somebody every will other day. Yeah, somebody will. It may not be tomorrow. It may be by the time we get off of air. By the time we get off of air, something has been filed because of the release by the SEC. And like I said, they didn't go with that statement. They just put out the statement. But if you go back and you look at the ruling, the TRO, to my knowledge, the SEC is not a party in that ruling. I think it's the NCAA. So you would have to kind of include them in that ruling, to my knowledge. So
when can we get back to just talking football?
He made the tackle. He caught the pass. And we talking about
injunctions. And court hearings and legality and This is the world of college football now, and you know, we can joke about it all we want, but things aren't going back in the bottle either.
Oh no! It's definitely not going back in the bottle. I mean, we just want some rules where it doesn't take this to get this guy to play. I mean, we can talk about it's the 5-for-5 ruling, and because the 22 class was not included in that 5-for-5 ruling. But technically, it's not spelled out like that. We can look at some of the COVID years and the extra years that those kids got because of COVID. But you look at Pavia, and, you know, there's some kids at 7, 8, 9 years of college football. College. That is true.
We're going to get more into the LSU side of things. Zach Nagy, senior writer for Go247 and CBS Sports, will join us. We're talking Tigers, the latest on football and basketball with him. Keep it locked right here on WWL. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this on WWL. Welcome back into sports talk here on WWL. Getting closer to football season finally getting underway for the Saints and for LSU Tigers. Zach Nagy, senior writer for Go247 and CBS Sports, joining us now, talking a little Bayou Bengals. Zach, considering all the craziness that's been going on in the news we just got from the SEC, how's everything else been going for you, man?
Yeah, man. I was talking to Charlie before I got on here, and we were just laughing about just the craziness that is college athletics right now. But first of all, I got to say, appreciate you guys for having me on. As always, love talking ball with you guys. And it's a chaotic time, no doubt. Absolutely.
We know this, the Tigers gearing up for this matchup against Clemson. Overall, what's your been impressions of the team so far through fall camp? I know the media hasn't been able to witness too much, but at least from what you saw, the highs and lows, I guess, maybe from this Tiger team so far.
Yeah, it's a great question. And obviously, fall camp's in the rearview mirror, and it was a really strong stretch for this program. You get Sam Leavitt back, fully ready to roll, looks the part, mobile, which is something that a lot of people wanted to see, him utilizing his legs. And then, of course, capitalizing with the weapons that he has in the receiving game. It was a really strong stretch for this offense. I was really impressed with what they kind of put together there. But on the other side of the ball, you could argue that the defense was a lot better. You know, there are going to be some questions along the interior defensive line when you have so many youngsters in Deuce Gerald, Lamar Brown, and, of course, Richard Anderson, three absolute tanks in the trenches. I mean, they're awesome. But again, questions when it comes to experience, if they hit that freshman wall, et cetera. But aside from that, your linebacker core looks fantastic. Principal Umanmielen looks like a beast in the trenches along the edge. And then your secondary is going to be your big bright spot, headlined by DJ Pickett and Ty Benefield. So I'd argue that the defense might have had an even better performance during fall camp. But nonetheless, a really productive stretch for LSU. And now they start Clemson preparation with kickoff only 11 days away.
Zach, I got to go back. I know I didn't get to think. Well, first of all, thank you for coming on with us. But where do we go from here with college athletics in general? Not even just, I mean, we have to consider what the SEC and the Big Ten put out. But where do we go from here?
It's the multi-million dollar question, right? You know, you have me sitting here and pausing, trying to think about the best direction to go in here. And it's rough, Deuce. I mean, you're in a situation right now where you have the SEC coming out with their ruling today, putting a ban to professional athletes that didn't withdraw from the NFL, NBA, and WNBA appropriately. So from there, we see what direction this goes in. It's going to go to court. You know LSU. You know a lot of these players are going to go to court and try to fight this once again. It's going to be nonstop here. But the time is kind of the essence here. The clock is ticking for these guys to get eligible and ready to roll. But the SEC is putting their foot down. That statement that they put out, let's say 15 to 20 minutes ago, is strong on where they stand. So I'm really intrigued to see which direction this goes and how LSU fights back, because they are certainly going to do so. The clock is ticking until they do that, of course. But it's a very unique situation that we're in right now, just a completely unprecedented situation when it comes to college football and basketball, for that matter.
Yeah, and so we kind of take that out of the equation. So at some point, that will get worked out. But going forward, where does college athletics kind of land? Because what we have done over the last 2 years, 3 years with NIL, even with the transfer portal, that's not working. And I know, you know, it's LSU and college football that we're talking about. But if you're paying attention around just college athletics, you have universities that they cannot sustain, or they can't be in the game, you know, pretty much maybe a year or two, maybe 2 years down the line. They can't be in the game as far as athletics is concerned, as far as, you know, NIL. So I just don't know if we can come up with an answer. And even from a Congress standpoint, even if that is the – if they can, you know, give you a true solution.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money. And I completely, you know, agree with that. And I would echo the same sentiment in my response. But I'd ask you, you know, do you think, and this is me genuinely asking because I'm unsure and you know more about this than me, but do you think a collective bargaining agreement would be something that would not put a stop to this, but, you know, put more parameters surrounding, you know, college athletics and making it, you know, a little bit more regulated? Do you think a collective bargaining agreement would be, you know, kind of the best situation for the NCAA to really go about and, you know, have each conference have their own set of rules and regulations?
Well, if you go on collective bargain, but now some individuals are employees. So I can't collectively have you agree to something if I'm not willing to take you on as an employee. And I don't think the universities want to do that.
Agreed. Agreed. Absolutely.
Looking at the – go back to some football stuff. The SEC opener for the Tigers, obviously everyone's talking about September 19th, taking on Ole Miss, circled as a massive early season statement game. How do you feel like Lane Kiffin's approaching the whole narrative around this matchup? And what about the emotional competitive temperature around it inside the LSU program going into it?
Yeah, I think when you talk about this matchup from the top down, it's headlines galore, right? It is not stopping. I mean, the buzz just continues to grow day by day, hour by hour. You know, you see the buzz with Xavier Harris yesterday. On Sunday, it was Daquan Wright. Obviously, we'll see what happens from an eligibility standpoint there. But when you look at it now from the top down, the buzz is incredible. And Lane Kiffin's mindset continues to be calm, you know, calm-minded. I think during his press conference this week, he brought up a really good point just saying how, you know, all the trials and tribulations, all the hurdles that he's had to jump, all the firings, all the other headlines, this, that, and the other, it's helped mold him into a coach that he's wanting to become. And that's a guy that's fiery, passionate, and is going to do all he can to win for the university that he's employed at. And so he continues to work to do that and make sure that this team is over the hump and ready to roll. But he has the top-end talent like no other. He has assembled a roster that has, you know, a competitive nature ready to roll. I cannot wait to see the product that they put on the field come week one and then fast forward that to week three in an environment that is going to be incredible at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium, man. It is going to be absolutely electric. We know College Game Day has obviously booked their ticket there. It's going to be incredible, and I think Lane Kiffin and this staff are handling it really, really well.
Zach, kind of building on that point by Steve, I wanted to ask you, because hearing Lane talk about it, you know, on Monday, and then also we spoke with Bobby about it yesterday as well, like, you can realistically see this LSU offense in year one under Coach Kiffin, Coach Weiss, really hitting their stride kind of later in the season and maybe even reaching their peak in like November. But the issue with that is that you still need to be able to start pretty fast given the opponents that you have in September, where you start the season off at home against Clemson. And then, you know, week three, we talked about the Ole Miss game on the road. And then you come back home and you host Texas A&M. It's a really, really tough opening four game slate that you're looking at here for September. So, yes, whereas LSU's offense may be better down the line later on in the season, you still need them to come out at least decently hot with those first four games.
Yeah, Charlie, we're on the exact same wavelength with that. I mean, I said that right when Lane Kiffin, you know, stepped away from the podium yesterday, just talking about, look, this team is not going to peak early. When you have so many newcomers, it's going to take time for it to all come together. But you do have to click early. It does have to come together really early. You know, Clemson, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, those three out of your first four opponents, I mean, you're going to learn a lot about this team in September, man. This is where, not necessarily make or break, I don't want to go that far ahead, but, you know, that's a really brutal stretch to the year where Sam Levitt has to be clicking. The embarrassment of riches that they've assembled him with have to be ready to roll. Your defense, you know, has to be clicking as well. So, absolutely, Charlie, I'm right there with you. I think that you're going to learn everything you need to know about this team in September. They have to perform well, especially with so many high-stakes matchups.
And Zach, a question that I think has kind of cropped up recently here is that, and we've talked about this throughout the whole offseason, when LSU completely rebuilt that wide receiver room, it's a bunch of new faces that have come in, and they keep talking about the depth. You hear it from Coach Kiffin, Coach Weiss, that there's a lot of really good contributing players, but the question has cropped up, and Lane didn't have an answer for it on Monday. You know, when push comes to shove and you need a third and six, like a big completion, who is going to be the go-to guy in that wide receiver room for, you know, Sam Levitt? I just want to get your projection for that because, I mean, the coaching staff doesn't know, so this is all looking ahead. But just a matter of, yes, it's good to have a lot of really good wide receivers, but does LSU have that go-to guy in this receiver room?
Yeah, I think that's something that is going to be really interesting to find out early. Again, you got to figure that out extremely early in the season. Your top four of Jackson Harris from Hawaii, super explosive deep threat. Winnie Watkins, in my opinion, one of the most versatile players in the SEC, can do a lot with the ball in his hands. And then Eugene Wilson from Florida and Jace Brown from Kansas State. Those are your four go-to guys in this offense, and they are going to make splashes. But you're not going to have that top-end guy like a Malik Nabers, a Brian Thomas, you know, Jamar Chase. I don't foresee them having that, let's say, first-round guy emerge. But you got to have players contribute in the biggest way. I think Lane Kiffin's going to make a point to get layups to the likes of Winnie Watkins and Eugene Wilson, kind of give it to him in the backfield, let him turn it upfield. I think you're going to see a lot of those layups early in the year to get Sam Levitt ready to roll, get his receivers red hot early. But when it comes to that go-to guy, that's going to be really fascinating to watch emerge because, you know, there just isn't that so far. And you're right, Lane Kiffin has certainly alluded to that during fall camp.
Zach, we know this LSU's, you know, roster, one of the nation's most expensive entering this season. And fair or not, there is the college football playoff or bust, you know, narrative going around. But how realistic is it for Lane Kiffin and this squad to accomplish that, looking at their schedule and the competition around the SEC?
Yeah, for me, you know, Steve, I sit back and I always try not to be a prisoner of the moment and, you know, look at the financial commitment that they put in and this, that, and the other. When push comes to shove, you have to look at those numbers that they invested in this roster. I mean, it is ridiculous. It is one of the most expensive rosters in America. A really strong support staff behind Lane Kiffin. The financial commitment is second to none. So for me, I think, you know, you have to make the CFP this year. I'm not sure if it's going to be something where, you know, you have to make this massive, miraculous run and it's a national championship or bust type of season. But I certainly do believe that you have to set the tone in year one for Lane Kiffin, the donor base, the university. There's a strong financial commitment here for the LSU Tigers in this football program. And I'm definitely a believer that they have to make the CFP this year to keep, you know, Baton Rouge at bay. And I think they have the roster to do it. This isn't smoke. You know, this is something where you've assembled such a big group of high-end talent, top-end talent, to where this is possible. This isn't a far-fetched thing. And with Lane Kiffin at the helm, Charlie Weiss and Blake Baker, that's a really strong three-headed monster to lead your program into battle. I firmly believe that they can make the CFP with this coaching staff and, of course, with the talent behind them as well.
Zach, you had mentioned earlier on when we were talking about the offense may not peak early. It's going to take some time to get to that point. They have to be clicking early because of the level of competition. But at the same time, the defense, it feels like it's ready to go. I remember hearing from Blake Baker a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about the linebacking core specifically and being able to have, you know, guys like T.J. Dottery and Whit Weeks, these senior veteran guys in the middle of that defense to really lead that group, but also a guy like Devon Keyes. It feels like the linebacking core could be one of the strongest units across the entire SEC, in all honesty, Zach, between those three guys that Blake Baker has got plenty of confidence in.
I'd agree with you, Charlie. I think that when you look at what Whit Weeks is about to put together, barring, you know, his health, he has to stay healthy, but he physically looks the part. Now, he's put on a couple pounds to his frame. He looks extremely explosive during the, you know, short media viewings that we received. You know, it's a small sample size, of course, but from other people that I've spoken with, it's a lot of high praise for what Whit Weeks will provide this team. Pair that with T.J. Dottery, who led the SEC in tackles last year, and just a true sideline to sideline guy who makes it happen. He's a ball hawk, and everybody that you talk to says that he finishes plays extremely well. So that 1-2 punch is going to be fascinating at the second level. And then you pair, you know, Devon Keyes with them. And a guy that I'm extremely high on, Charles Ross. This is a speedster from Texas who is just a bolt of lightning. I think the future for him is extremely bright. But when talking about the three-headed monster that you have there with Whit Weeks, T.J. Dottery, and Devon Keyes, I think that those three guys are going to be three of the best linebackers in America, not just the SEC. I'm really excited to see what they can put on the field. Not trying to be a sunshine pumper here, but I do believe that those three guys are going to be really, really talented this upcoming season.
And this is, I guess, a little bit more sunshine pumping, but I think it's a really interesting point as far as Principal Umamielen, who you also brought up as potentially being a star player for this defense. I think that's the expectation. That's why they brought him from Ole Miss. You know, he'd come off an all-SEC performance last season. You know, this guy's the limit for this guy on the LSU defense. But one thing that Lane did bring up when talking about Principal is being able to get the quarterback to the ground. I mean, we've seen that with LSU in the past couple of years, Blake Baker's defense specifically, like Jalen Milroe nightmares and Marcel Reed nightmares and Diego Pavia, where, you know, the defensive line is solid, but these mobile quarterbacks that just escape and extend plays have just been a nightmare for Blake Baker's defense. So having a guy that can not just get the pressure but also get the quarterback to the ground, that could be a really big difference for LSU's defense this year, and having someone like Prince Will to do that.
No doubt. Prince Uiagalelei is a game changer and a game wrecker. He's a really strong component to what this defense needs. Obviously, you bring back Blake Baker, who's just extremely talented from a defensive coordinator perspective and just a leader perspective as well. So you give him a weapon like Uiagalelei, who is coming off of a season with 9 sacks, you know, a ton of tackles for loss, can get the quarterback to the ground. It's a recipe for success. And you talk about Uiagalelei, and this is a guy who's had, from people that I've spoken to, the strongest offseason of his career. He's added over 10 pounds to his frame. He's north of 255 pounds right now. He looks like a man amongst boys out there during the practice field. He came in for interviews earlier during camp and looked the part as well. So I think he's due for a big-time season here. The defensive end that's going to be on the opposite side of him remains to be seen. Will it be Jordan Ross, Dylan Carpenter, or Lamar Brown, your true freshman? I'm excited to see how that works out there. You also just signed, obviously, junior Tui Halamaka from Notre Dame as a component as well. When will he be ready to go? But your edge rushers are ready to roll. You got bodies galore to work with. Uiagalelei is going to be the engine that allows them to go. And I can't wait to see how that also unfolds when you talk about those big-time edge rushers getting the quarterback to the ground.
Zach, it's always great talking to you, man. Thanks so much for joining us today. And stay sane out there in this wild world of college football.
Yeah, man, you're not lying. I appreciate it, fellas. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Zach.
Zach Nagy, senior writer for Go247 Sports and CBS Sports, joining us there, breaking down the Bayou Bengals, a little talking Tigers as we get ready for that season opener coming up, not this Saturday, but the next one against Clemson in Death Valley, the real Death Valley. Going to be a fun one to watch. Like you mentioned, College Game Day is going to be there. LSU trying to set the tone early on this season. We're going to take a break, come back with more sports talk here a little bit. What Saints head coach Lane Kiffin had to say, Saints head coach Kellen Moore, not Lane Kiffin, coming back right after this on WWL. Who dat? Wherever the day takes you, take WWL along. Listen live to your favorite WWL shows, plus the news, weather, traffic, and local coverage that you count on every day. Just open the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps and search WWL. Staying connected has never been easier. Back here on Sports Talk, getting back into some Saints discussion. Saints head coach Kellen Moore talked to the media today after today's workout for the team. They were just in shells, no padded practices going on right now. Kellen Moore obviously asked right off the bat about an injury that looked like to wide receiver Chris Olave, went down on the field, ended up not coming back to the session.
You said all good on Chris.
He got the wind knocked out of him?
Yeah, it looked like he got the wind knocked out and just kind of took a sec to get up.
Are they doing any other testing or anything to see if it's something worse?
They didn't say anything to me about that.
You know, when I saw the news coming out about that on social media, you know, right away I'm thinking, oh no, not again for this team, because it seemed like when you guys were out in California, Deuce, it was something popping up constantly about someone getting looked at in the blue tent, and we've seen that carry into games as well. And obviously with Chris, you're constantly worried about his head injuries, anything affecting him.
Well, not just head injuries. I mean, if you lose him, that receiver's court, that room goes down.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not coming off of All-Pro just because they liked his name. I mean, he went out and performed and earned that opportunity.
Looking at this team, too, they just added a running back in Zamir White. Coach Kellen Moore was asked about his first practice in black and gold.
Yeah, good exposure. You know, again, like I mentioned yesterday, that's a challenge for these guys who are part of a transaction this late into training camp, you know, and so for him to be able to hop in there and at least prepare himself to have an opportunity this weekend, I think he'll be ready to go.
Opportunity this weekend, so the plan is definitely to have him in action against the Dallas Cowboys. How much will he have to – how quickly can he get up to speed, and like how many plays you think he could be good for in this game on Friday?
I won't put a number on it. I mean, because a lot of what he will do, the quarterback will kind of tell him, even on some routes, hey, I mean, because he's a pro. He may not know the exact name, and even listening to the snap counts.
Right, we always hear the verbiage is the toughest part.
Yeah, and so like, hey, this is wide zone, this is inside zone, or you know, I'm gonna hand it off to you in this manner. Different things of that nature, they will help him with. you know, even on the routes, you don't have anybody. It's hot. You're coming in, you're running a screen. You'll give him plays like that. You won't give him plays or options where, hey, this is a two-call, you know, play situation where there's a run pass. You may, but he has to know the first play is a pass. Second one, if I check, I go to the run. You know, you want to make it easy as possible for him. So now he can just react instead of thinking, wait, is this stretch zone? Is this duo? What am I doing? You don't want him to be able to do that. You want him just to be able to go, I'm coming into the game, I'm carrying. I'm carrying the football. I'm coming into the game, I'm blocking off of the edge. So, you know, his protections may be slide protections, left or right. His protections may be, hey, you've got the mic to wheel. That's it. You know, and so you want to make it easy as possible for him.
Also, this Black and Gold Bunch will be back at practice tomorrow. The final one open for you fans out there at Tulane Stadium. Yeoman Stadium at Tulane's campus will be starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Our guys will be out there giving you the latest and greatest as it happens if you can't make it out. Coach Kellen Moore asked about Wednesday night session at Yeoman.
It'll be a shells practice. It's a little bit of what we replicate like on a Friday going into a Sunday game. Red zone emphasis. Some open field stuff here and there. We'll get some kicking game work there, which will be obviously really valuable for us as we prepare ourselves for this weekend. I'm excited. I haven't been to Tulane yet, so we were not able to make that happen last year, and so I think this will be great. It's a change of environment for our guys, which I think is always fun. I think it'll be a great atmosphere. You know, it probably gets our fans a little bit closer to the action. Obviously, our guys will enjoy being able to interact with the fans after practice, which will be a great part of this, and so I think all of us are looking forward to it.
And I got to ask, what's the earliest that fans, what time do the gates open?
That I would have to double check you for you right now.
Okay, all good. We'll find out for you because we don't want you to get there too early where you can't get in, but we do want you to be able to come out and see the Black and Gold, you know, like Coach talked about. They interact with the fans and sign autographs after practice, but when they're not in, you know, obviously they interact and guys will throw the football around with some of the younger kids down on the sideline. So whatever you need to do to be able to come to that practice, come out if you can as this Saints team wrap up their training camp and get ready for the regular season.
Yeah, so far I'm seeing, Deuce, that I know it's from 7 to 8 p.m., but not sure quite when fans can start arriving to start packing the house at Yeoman.
Well, definitely come and pack it. We'll figure out what time you can get there.
That's one thing that's going to be curious to see how it shakes out, too, with the kicking battle. I'm sure everyone's curious to see how – you know, the new guy in action, because we've seen the struggles with, you know, Charlie Smith, Tanner Brown. What can Carlson add to this room? And, you know, when we talked to Matthew Paris earlier, he fully thinks that this is going to be the guy week one for you.
Yeah, I mean, and it just may be. It may be, you know, and I think when you talk about the struggles, it's really been not complete struggles, but at times. And this team, they can't afford to have struggles inside of the 40.
Inconsistencies, right?
Yeah, and so they can't afford to have it. And that's kind of where we are today. And it's been a two-man competition. A third has entered the room, and we'll see how it unfolds.
Another has entered. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk, coming back to wrap things up before we head into the Saints Hour. Coming back with more of Sports Talk, though, right after this on WWL. Keep it locked here. Back here on Sports Talk, we'll be out at Yeoman Stadium for the practice the practice with themselves tomorrow. The last one in front of the fans before we get into regular season action. And tomorrow on Sports Talk, Deuce, Bobby Hebert, Mike Haas, Jeff Nowak, all evaluating the Saints ahead of Friday's preseason finale. What are the must-sees in the exhibition against Dallas? Looking at 6 o'clock. We'll go live to Tulane's Yeoman Stadium for Saints practice. Join Team WWL as they break down what's happening on the field in real time. Huddle up from 4 to 9 p.m. right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Looking forward to Friday's matchup, especially just because it is the final game of the preseason. It's been an interesting haul so far with the Saints, and I know the biggest concern has just been the injuries right now. We've talked a little bit about it, but for you, Deuce, are you playing starters in this matchup Friday like a Tyler Shuck? Would you put him in a quarterback just to get that series in?
As I scratch my neck and I ponder and
I know, putting you on the spot here.
No, I'm not. I'm not playing any of those guys.
You feel the joint workout work was enough for this squad.
Not just joint. I mean, I have to take regular practice into consideration.
Yeah.
I'm not playing those guys. But before that question was asked, you've got 53 roster spots. Prior to those two games, and I can't evaluate totally on those two games, I had probably six or seven true spots available for this team. Six or seven. And if I'm being honest now, I probably have 10.
Is it because of performance or because of injury? Or a little of both?
A little of both. A little of both. Injury hurts because I don't mind. Lorenzo Styles, I had him making his team. You know, and with him being injured, that changes. And obviously, we don't know how long he's out. But that changes maybe a spot for somebody. You know, a guy like Rajon Wright, who had been on who had been hurt, he goes to injured reserve.
Right.
With no designation. So now he's completely out of the fold. Here's a guy that I had making the squad. Chris Rump.
Haven't seen him in a while.
2 weeks plus.
Yeah.
I really think that he could help this squad. But I hadn't seen him. So that kind of changes how I feel about the roster. And there are some guys that have sat out that have gotten listed as like a starter, but I thought that they needed some work. They haven't played. Maybe second-year guys, maybe new guys in the system. I think some of those guys need to play, but they haven't played up until this point. So that's where we are.
Just got official word from the Saints as well. We know it's a 7 o'clock practice tomorrow. Gates for fans opening up at 6 p.m. at Yulman Stadium. So then you can start arriving and taking your places to see the Saints practice one last time in front of the Hoodettes.
Yeah, so if you get there at 5, you're going to wait.
6 o'clock, gates opening at Yulman tomorrow. We'll be out there for Saints practice. Coming up next, we got the Saints Hour with Mike Hawes. Keep it locked right here on WWL Radio for more black and gold coverage, folks. Hoodette, and talk to you tomorrow.